Three chimes mean good times on NBC. In a short while, Theater Guild on the Air will present the delightful Moss Hart comedy, Light Up the Sky, starring Joan Bennett, Sam Levine, and Thelma Ritter. For adventure later this evening, hear Joel McRae as he stars in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Now transcribed.
From Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. With tonight's news brought to life by Abbott and Costello, Jane Russell, and Dorothy McGuire. And here she is from the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine, Hedda Hopper.
Hello, everybody. Arlene Dahl and Lex Barker won't be married next Tuesday. She walked out on their marriage and came home. Arrived here this morning. On Friday, she went shopping and kept him waiting an hour and a half. He was furious, said so in no uncertain terms. She said, this is the end, and walked out. He walked after her, returned in half an hour, and said she'll cool off. But she didn't. When Lex learned she was flying home, he rushed to LaGuardia, boarded her plane, came out raging, and left her weeping. She said, I don't believe in divorce, and it's better we found out before it's too late. George Hurst Jr. will marry Mary Thompson from Florida on April the 23rd in Los Angeles. George is in the Army. He's been at Fort Ord 7 months. Audie Murphy phoned me from Dallas, Texas, that he will be married to Pamela Archer on April the 23rd at the Highland Park Methodist Church in Dallas by the chaplain of his old regiment, the 36th. The Clark Gable marriage is on the rocks. It's just a question of time, maybe only a question of hours, before they admit it. Clark's been visiting friends in Arizona. Before coming home, he'll go to Patagonia, New Mexico, to participate in the spring roundup. He rides 5 hours a day. Sylvia's very unhappy. In a statement to me, she said, you'll have to ask Clark about this. I'm still stuck on the guy. I happen to know that another glamour girl now in Arizona would like to rope and throw Gable if she can catch him off a horse.
Not to be, that is the question.
What in the name of... Patsy, what's going on out there?
Miss Hopper, the place is overrun by community...
All right, boys. What's the idea? What's on your mind?
You did fine, Costello. All right, that's enough. You said enough.
I didn't say nothing yet.
Now, keep quiet. You have to say something.
Okay.
Now, let me do my half of the talking. Hedda, we waited until after the Oscar Awards to make a complaint.
What complaint?
Well, not thinking of ourselves, of course, but why is it there isn't a special Oscar for comics? Do you realize that such people as Bob Hope, Buster Keaton, Jack Benny, Harold Lloyd, and many, many others have never been honored by our industry?
Bob, you're so right.
Yeah. Now, Hedda, I mean when I say that, I'm not thinking of ourselves. You, of course, realize that, but... If you could promote the work of these comedians...
It's a wonderful idea.
Sure.
And yes, I'll certainly do everything I can to fight for a comedy Oscar. I don't know anyone who deserves praise more than our big comedians. They've brought so much happiness to the world.
Hedda, I love you.
And, you know, it's quite refreshing to hear a good, serious idea from you two.
Oh, it's nothing new. We're serious all the time, these days.
What?
Well, the situation has driven us former comedians underground. We've had to change our style.
Huh?
Well, now we spend all our time practicing serious drama. You know, emotional stuff, heavy stuff.
Why don't you show me?
Well, sure, we're not afraid. We'll show you. Costello, show her. You see, there's nothing to it, Hedda. Now, all you gotta do is show something easy, something elementary, the type of thing that would never win an Oscar, anyhow. Cyrano de Bergerac. How about that?
You mean
got the name Cyrano right, didn't he?
What was that?
You got the name right.
You mean Cyrano de Bergerac?
Yes.
He got it wrong.
Wait a minute. You play that part.
You want me to be Cyrano? What this kid said?
Yes.
Cyrano de Bergerac?
That's you.
Excuse me.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to be Cyrano de Bergerac. Now, with this big nose on, Abbott, how do I drink my coffee and how do I find my pipe?
Never mind that. We're going to do the balcony scene. The one with Roxanne. So you be Cyrano and I'll be the handsome Christian. Here we go.
Okay. Roxanne. What is any man that he dare ask for you?
Don't ask me. I'll tell you why I do not dare ask for you.
Roxanne, my darling, I am so afraid. Afraid our love will be smashed upon the rocks of Alcatraz. Our love is so strong, but I am so meek.
You're meek?
No, I'm Sereno.
Meek Sereno, repeat after me. I must be strong.
I must be strong.
I must be brave.
I must be brave.
You must be intrepid.
I must be intrepid.
You don't know the meaning of the word fear.
I don't even know the meaning of the word intrepid. But back to love. Roxanne, I came here to pluck down out of the sky the evening star and then smile and stoop to gather little flowers.
Oh, they're not sweet, those little flowers.
Oh, yes. Not sweet enough. We shall try a little saccharin. Oh, Roxanne. You are the... What words these guys put in here. You are the quintessence of feminine culture, pulchra food.
Words.
But I said them, didn't I?
You never spoke to me like this.
They never gave me words like that before.
Costello, you're an imbecile.
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 Boys.
Please, Miss Hopper, this is strictly between us two imbeciles.
Some more arguments for you, Lou.
Easy, Cyrano. You're working yourself up into a frenzy.
I'm not making frenzies with anybody on this show.
I'm not talking about that kind of frenzy.
Oh.
Your brain is too tense.
Too tense?
Yes, too tense the size of a normal brain.
Now, listen, I don't think it's very nice, Miss Hopper. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but be quiet! The both of you!
Quiet!
Now, poetry from Sereno de Bergerac, or whatever the guy's name is. Now, let's see, it's over here. Love. I love beyond breath, beyond reason, beyond love's own power of loving. Your name is like a golden bull.
Bell.
Hey. Your name is like a golden bell, hung in my heart. And when I think of you, I tremble and the bell swings and rings. Roxanne, inside my tummy the bells are ringing. Roxanne, hey!
Very much, Abbott and Bonzo.
Excuse me, Miss Hopper. Abbott and Bonzo? Where you get this Bonzo stuff? What are you trying to make a monkey out of me?
It's too late for that.
Thank you.
Ava Gardner is very amused that she hasn't received a book of verse dedicated to her by that poetry-writing Spanish bullfighter. He sent one to every member of the Pandora Company, but skipped Ava. The boy in Hollywood who gets the most fan mail is not a picture star. He's Dick Contino. And incidentally, he was rejected by his draft board and reports to Jerry Ward for a picture on the 28th. Mary Martin won't come to Hollywood to make a picture with Cary Grant. When she finishes South Pacific in June, she leaves on a slow boat for England for her opening in September. And Pinza may be in London with her. Metro hasn't taken up his option yet. Cecil B. DeMille is a very patient man. He's overlooked, but for the moment, but he won't forget Cornell Wilde. Cornell, because of his infatuation for Gene Wallace, was a week reporting back to Hollywood for more shooting on The Greatest Show on Earth. I've said many times how tricky publicity can hurt our stars. And
for some expert at testimony, lend me your ears.
Jane Russell.
Exhibit A, Hedda. A little incident that happened to me in Paris last summer.
Oh, that.
Exactly. I got some publicity over there that kept me on a diet of bromoquinine for days.
You mean the headline in the Paris papers about you being involved in a champagne party?
Mm-hmm. and there was a huge picture of me waving a bottle of champagne over my head. Well, to show you how cockeyed publicity can get, point one, I don't like champagne, and point two, at the same time of the alleged party, I was sound asleep in my hotel room.
But, Jane, where did the newspapers get the picture of you waving that bottle of champagne?
Well, it was a picture taken of me 2 years before. I was christening a ship in New York.
Well, what do you know?
Hedda, here's a smaller example of how fake labels can get pinned on you. Now, what song would you say is most closely associated with me?
Buttons and Bows, naturally.
But why?
Well, wasn't it in the picture you made with Bob Hope?
But I didn't sing it. Bob did.
That's right, but I heard you sing it at the Academy Awards the year the song won an Oscar.
That was the first time I'd sung it in my life.
It was?
But from then on, I'd had to sing it everywhere. Even in Hedda Hopper's column, right?
Yes. Well, it is my favorite, and I don't care if you didn't sing it in the picture. And
never mind, Hedda. I loved singing it. East is east, and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where they keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows. Rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me on this prairie. Take me where the seamen grow. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes. And I'll stand out in buttons and bows. I love you in buckskin or shirts that I've homespun. But I'd love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones been out, the buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose, where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows. And I'm all yours in buttons and bows. Give me eastern trim and wear women are women. French perfume that rocks the room, and I'm all yours. Buttons and bows, buttons and bows, buttons and bows, buttons and bows.
Grand, Jane, and if I help tie Jane Russell and Buttons and Bows into a knot, I'm mighty happy. Mrs. Sam Goldwyn will be in Paris for the birth of her first grandchild in July. Her son Sammy is on Ike Eisenhower's staff with 14 men under him. Spencer Tracy promised Red Skelton he'd be in London for his Palladium opening July 1st. Spence takes off for Europe May the 5th. Is it a coincidence that Katharine Hepburn will be there at the same time? Lana Turner's present on her third anniversary, the 26th of this month, is a Jaguar car from her husband, Bob. But he bought himself one, too. I'm so sorry that the Leland Haywards lost their baby. They have a new house in Manhasset, Long Island, which they bought from the late Eddie Duchin. Howard Hughes, in His Kind of Women, teamed Jane Russell and Bob Mitchum for the very first time. It will be released in July, one of our hottest months for one of our hottest pictures. Sonia Henie and Winthrop Gardner expect their yacht built in Oslo, Norway, to be delivered to them in New York within the month. For a number of years here in Hollywood, I've admired the work of a very fine young actress who's played mostly romantic and comedy parts. For instance, her next one at Metro is Calloway Went That Away. Well, several weeks ago, I thrilled to her beautiful performance as the tragic Ophelia in the Theatre Guild's radio production of Hamlet. So I thought the most exciting item about Dorothy McGuire would be to hear her in another tragic role. Dorothy McGuire in something special, in Camille.
All right, Hedda. It is something special, isn't it? It almost requires a special frame around it. An old-fashioned frame made of gilt latticework. Of sadness and gaiety and love. And perhaps the cold branches of the chestnut trees. In Paris, on New Year's Day, 1850. Because it's the story of Camille. The Lady of the Camellias, Marguerite Gautier, whose life was like champagne, but whose death lay waiting at the bottom of the glass, whose tragedy of illness was only a small drop to the tragedy of her love. Armand, my Armand, dearest, beloved Armand.
Madame? Marguerite?
Oh, yes, Nanny.
Oh, the doctor was by. He looked in but said I shouldn't awaken you.
Oh, yes, Nanny.
He said from your appearance you're doing splendidly.
When God said lying was a sin, he made an exception for doctors. He gave them permission to lie as many times a day as they saw patients. Oh, open those shutters, Nanine. Let in the sunshine.
It's a beautiful morning. The children are rolling their hoops, and even the shop windows seem to have on their best clothes for the new year.
It was not a letter, Nanine.
No, it was not a letter. But next week or the week after.
Don't be like the doctor, Nanine. Here, help me with the pillows.
Yes, madame.
And hand me that pen and paper. Hurry.
Yes, madame, here.
And leave me. Nanine, please, leave me.
Yes,
madame. Armand. My Armand. Dearest, beloved Armand. These are the words that I have so often written in my mind. You have been away from me so long. I beg of you, read these last words, for they shall be the truth which you have not known. Oh, Armand, if you could have known what happened on that day before you left me forever, if you had only known what happened when a strange gentleman called on me.
Mademoiselle Marguerite Gautier?
Yes, it is I, monsieur. To whom have I the honor of speaking?
To Monsieur Duval.
Monsieur Duval?
Yes, mademoiselle. To Armand's father.
Armand is not at the house just now. He will return in an hour or two.
It is with you I wish to have a talk. Kindly listen to me. My son, mademoiselle, is compromising and ruining himself for you.
You are mistaken. I accept nothing from Armand.
Your past is as well known as your beauty, mademoiselle. You are one of those women whose charms so beautifully yet doubtfully grace our times. Without heart, without loyalty, because your love belongs to whoever pays for it.
Monsieur, I am a woman, and I am in my own house. Two reasons which should sufficiently appeal to your courtesy. The tone in which you are addressing me is not one which I should expect from Armand's father.
I was warned that you were a very dangerous person.
Yes, dangerous, perhaps to myself, but not to others. Oh, Monsieur Duval, it's true. I have been foolish. I have a sad past. But now that I really love, I would give the last drop of my blood to blot out that past. It's Armand who has transformed me.
We both love Armand.
Yes, yes.
But the world has its conventions. Purified though you may be in the eyes of Armand, you are not so in the eyes of the world, which will close its doors against you without pity. But not alone against you. The first person to be hurt is Armand's younger sister, who was to have been married. But the family into which she would go has learned of the manner of Armand's life and refuses to sanction the marriage while he continues in this way. Marguerite, in the name of your love, grant me at least the happiness of my daughter.
Oh, it's very kind of you, monsieur, to speak to me so gently. Yes, I understand you. You are right. I will leave Armand for a little while.
Temporary separation is not sufficient.
You want me to leave Armand altogether?
You must.
Never. Oh, don't you understand how we love each other? Don't you know I have nothing? My life is bound to Armand's. And finally, don't you know, I'm ill. I have only a few years. Oh, leave Armand. You might as well kill me at once.
Listen to me. You have known Armand 3 months, and you love him. But has so young a love the right to ruin a whole future? And it is my son's whole future that you will ruin by staying with him. Are you sure of the eternity of that love?
Yes, monsieur, yes. Never have I loved as I love Armand.
But this liaison, the marriage, this thing, excusable perhaps to a young man, will it be so in the eyes of a mature one? What will remain of it when you grow old? How can you be sure that the first line on your forehead will not tear the veil from his eyes, and that his illusions will not vanish with your youth?
Everything you've said to me, I've said to myself with terror. You speak to me in the name of your son, in the name of your daughter. Well, monsieur, I ask you to tell that young girl that there was once a woman who had but one hope, one thought, one dream in this world. A dream to live in happiness with a man she loved.
Then forget my daughter. Give up Armand for the sake of his future.
For the sake of his future. His honor. Oh, what must I do? Tell me I'm ready.
You must tell him that you no longer love him.
He will not believe it.
You must go away.
He will follow me.
Then, mademoiselle, it is up to you.
Yes, monsieur. It is up to me. And my past shall serve a purpose of virtue. Armand will never see me again. Within a day, he will learn to hate me. Within a day, he shall believe that I am again as I was before. He will hate me then.
Madame. Marguerite. Madame.
Nanine.
The pen fell out of your hand. Oh. I thought you were asleep.
I can't send it, Nanine. I swore to his father. I can't reveal what's passed between us. Oh, it's only because I am selfish and afraid of death that I...
But madame...
Marguerite. Oh. Camille.
What?
Camille, I'm here.
Armand.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, it can't be you. Oh, it's impossible that God should be so good to me.
Father wrote me everything. I already know the truth.
Oh, my Armand.
Had I not found you, I would have been the cause of your death. Marguerite, tell me that you forgive us. Both of us.
Oh, forgive you, my dearest. I alone was to blame. I wanted your future to be untainted. Oh, your father will not part us again, will he? Look at me. You are not returning to your same pretty Marguerite. But I'm still young. I will grow lovely again.
I shall never leave you again. Marguerite, listen. My father will learn to love you as the good angel of his son.
Oh.
My sister now is married. The future is ours.
Oh, speak to me. Speak to me. I feel my soul being reborn with your every word. Oh, do you know something? A friend of mine, Michette, is getting married today. She's marrying Gustave this morning at the Madeleine. We'll see her. Oh, it will do us good to go into a church and to pray and to witness another's happiness. Oh, tell me again that you love me.
I love you, Marguerite. All my life belongs to you.
Nanine. Nanine. Get me everything I need to go out.
No, madame. The doctor
quickly,
said...
Quickly, quickly. Here. Help me before...
Marguerite. Marguerite, what is it? You're so white.
Nothing, dear. Don't be afraid. It's just that joy does not come suddenly into a despairing heart without straining a little. Nanine, come, help me to my dressing table. Rouge to be beautiful. And my hair. And the gown I wore when I...
Marguerite.
I can't.
Nanine, run, fetch the doctor.
Tell him Armand has come back. I want to live. Oh, my darling. Sooner or later, Man must die of that which made him live. I lived on love.
Don't say such things, Marguerite. You will live, you must.
A moment ago, I rebelled against death. I'm sorry.
No, Marguerite, don't talk that way. Tell me that you don't believe it, that you don't wish it.
Even if I did not wish it, my dearest, I would be obliged to give in, since God wishes it. If my life had been different, then perhaps I might cry at the idea of leaving a world where you are to remain. But if I lived, there would always be stains upon my love. This way, all that you will keep of me will be pure and bright. Yes, I'm dying. I do not suffer. Hold me close, my darling. It seems as though life were pouring into me like sunshine. Hold me up. Hold me close so that I can feel the sunshine. I think I have never felt so well before. Amour, hold me.
Marguerite? Marguerite? Camille?
Superb. Thank you so much, Dorothy McGuire. Yes, Camille was a tragic story, and this past week was a tragic time in American history, probably the blackest we've ever known. General Douglas MacArthur was fired in the dead of night last Wednesday. He was fired at the instigation of a man who said Alger Hiss is a fine American, and who never has retracted that statement, although Hiss now is in jail. He was fired by a man who has General Harry Vaughan as his personal military aide. His discharge was hailed with glee by the countries of Western Europe, which we have saved twice by arms, and now are saving from starvation and tyranny by your dollars and mine. General MacArthur was fired because he believed we should be against communism in Asia as well as in Europe, and said so. He was fired because he said he could see no difference in the Red Hordes taking China and Japan or England and France. He was fired because he could get no definite orders from this debating society, the United Nations, which is supposed to be running the Korean War, running it with more than 90% American troops. How Stalin must be laughing. Laughing at us, the United Nations, England and France, at our politicians who would have us believe they are statesmen. Yes, it was done in the black of night. It will be returned a millionfold when both days and nights will be made black. Black by the hordes of savages the leadership of one man might have thwarted had we listened to him. But instead of listening, what did we do? We fired him.
NBC will again bring you Hedda Hopper with Hollywood news brought to life by William Farnham, Marina Koschetz, and Gregory Peck.
Good night, everybody.
Transcribed. This is Cancer Control Month. You can strike back at cancer by joining the 1951 Cancer Crusade of the American Cancer Society. Give generously to your local committee by mailing your contribution to Cancer, care of your local post office. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Go behind the footlights next into the busy, glamorous backstage world of the theater as the delightful comedy about show business, Light Up the Sky, is brought to you by Theater Guild on the Air, starring Joan Bennett, Sam Levine, and Thelma Ritter. And a reminder for quiz fun later, hear Phil Baker and the $64 question. Now, Light Up the Sky, presented by Theater Guild, next on NBC.